Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. We are diving into a fascinating Supreme Court case today, Braverman v. United States. This case gets at the heart of how many conspiracies you can actually get from just one agreement.
Yeah, this case from 1942, you know, still has a major impact today, and with good reason. It really set a precedent that protects defendants from being, well, overly prosecuted.
Okay, so paint a picture for us here. Prohibition. Bootleggers.
Mm-hmm.
What were these Braverman petitioners even doing? What got them in trouble?
So they're running this whole illegal alcohol operation, right? Manufacturing, transporting, the whole thing. All illegal back then, breaking tons of tax law.
Classic prohibition.
Yeah.
But why did the government hit them with so many conspiracy charges? Like one for every single tax law they broke.
That's exactly what they tried to do. The prosecution was basically saying that every violation was like a totally separate goal. So every single one was a new conspiracy.
But wouldn't it all just stem from one main agreement, though? One agreement to run this whole illegal operation? It seems kind of crazy to say each violation was a separate conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly. That was the defense's argument. One single agreement to be in the illegal alcohol business, no matter how many laws they broke.
Okay, so the government is trying to throw everything at them. The defense is saying, hold on, this is one conspiracy. What did the Supreme Court say?
Well, the court sided with the petitioners, and this is where it gets interesting. They basically said that a single agreement, even if it breaks a bunch of laws, is just one conspiracy.
So the government can't just divide and conquer like that. But what was the logic behind it? It seems like more crimes would equal more conspiracies.
Well, not really. The court really focused on the agreement as the actual crime. It's not about the number of crimes that come from it, it's the agreement itself. Like, you know, the agreement is the root and the crimes are the branches.
I like that analogy. So a bunch of crimes, all part of one agreement, it's still just one conspiracy legally.
Exactly. And the court was clear about that, they said. The conspiracy is the crime, and it is one, however diverse its objects.
Wow. Okay. So that shuts down the government's attempt to split it up. But why is this ruling such a big deal? Is it just about procedure? Or is there something more to it?
Oh, it goes way deeper than that. They recognize that letting the government just carve up a conspiracy could cause some real problems.
Like what?
Well, think about double jeopardy, you know, the Fifth Amendment. You can't be tried for the same crime twice.
Right, that's important. But how does that connect to this case, you know, with the bootleggers and conspiracies?
Okay, so let's say the Braverman guys got convicted of all seven conspiracies, right? One for each tax thing. That means they're punished seven times for one agreement.
Ah, I get it. The court saw that as like a sneaky way to get around double jeopardy.
Yeah.
Punishing them multiple times for the same root agreement.
Exactly. Braverman put a stop to that. It basically makes sure that people are only punished once for one conspiracy, even if they do a lot of illegal things because of it.
So this one case really changed how we think about conspiracy.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll get into that more as we can going on our deep dive into Braverman v. United States.
So we're back. And we've been really digging into this Braverman v. United States case. It's pretty amazing how relevant it still is, you know, a case about bootleggers way back when.
Yeah, it just shows how powerful precedents are, right? Braverman is like the shield that stops prosecutors from just throwing a ton of conspiracy charges at someone for every little thing.
So instead of just listing out all these potential crimes, the focus shifts, right? It's all about proving that one agreement, that bigger picture.
Exactly. You got to show that all those illegal acts were part of this like master plan driven by that one agreement. It makes prosecution more strategic. You know what I mean?
Makes sense. But what about the defense? How do they use Braverman?
Oh, it's a huge tool for them. If they can show that whatever their client did, even if it was illegal, was all part of that one agreement, well, they can get multiple charges dropped.
So it's like, hey, is one big conspiracy pie, not a bunch of little slices?
That's it. And it doesn't just affect the charges. Braverman really impacts sentencing, too.
Really? How so? Like the type of sentence? Mm-hmm. Or the length?
If someone's found guilty of just one conspiracy, they only get one sentence. Even if that conspiracy had a bunch of illegal stuff going on.
That seems fair. You shouldn't be punished a ton of times for basically one decision. It keeps things proportional to the, you know, the scale of the conspiracy.
Exactly. The punishment actually fits the crime. But, you know, there's this interesting thing with how Braverman affects the statute of limitations.
Ah, right. The time limit for bringing charges. That can get complicated, can't it? Especially with one conspiracy that maybe goes on for a long time.
It does. See, in conspiracy cases, that clock doesn't start when each crime happens. It starts with the last overt act that was part of the conspiracy.
So not a separate clock for each thing, even if there's a gap between the illegal acts.
Nope. It's all about the last act.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you have this, you know, overarching conspiracy and illegal stuff happens over years, that clock doesn't start until the very last one.
Wow. That makes things tricky for everyone, right? Both sides. Imagine something from years ago suddenly becoming super important because it fits into a recent conspiracy.
Exactly. It really shows that the one agreement, one conspiracy idea from Braverman has these long-reaching effects. It's not just about the initial charges.
Yeah, it's like a chain reaction. How charges are structured, how the statute of limitations works.
And to think, it all comes from a case about bootleggers during Prohibition. It really shows how one Supreme Court decision can just reshape the whole legal system, you know? How crimes are charged, how they're defended, how justice is served.
Speaking of justice, it seems like there's a balance here, right? We talked about how Braverman protects people from too many charges, but does it always end up fair? Are there times when it might actually help criminals who deserve harsher punishments? That's something we'll get into when we come back for the last part of our deep dive into Braverman v. United States. All right, we're back. And we've been going deep on Braverman v. United States, this case that shaped how we think about conspiracy law for years.
And it really raises these big questions about, you know, fairness and justice. We talked about how Braverman stops prosecutors from piling on charges, makes sure people aren't punished over and over for the same agreement.
Right, but we were getting into some trickier areas before the break, weren't we? Does this whole Braverman rule, this one agreement means one conspiracy idea, does that always mean things end up fair?
It's a debate, you know.
Yeah.
Legal folks are still talking about it. On the one hand, it protects individual rights. It keeps punishment in line with the agreement itself.
But I can see the other side, too. What about when one conspiracy, just one, leads to a ton of bad stuff, like widespread harm?
Exactly. Imagine, right, like a huge criminal organization, really sophisticated, doing all kinds of things, drug trafficking, money laundering, all under one big agreement.
So a huge operation, but under one umbrella.
Now, technically, under Braverman, that's one conspiracy, even though it's a bunch of crimes, a lot of damage.
I see the problem. Some people would say, wait, one conspiracy charge, even with a long sentence, that doesn't cover the harm that big network caused.
That's the tough part. It's the legal idea of a single conspiracy versus what actually happens in the real world with a big criminal enterprise.
So how do we make that work? Can we make sure justice happens in these big, messy cases without messing up the protections from Braverman?
It's hard. No easy answer. Maybe you consider how bad the harm was when you're deciding the sentence for that one conspiracy charge.
So even though it's one charge, the punishment reflects the scale of what they did.
Yeah. But you got to be careful, right? You can't just give prosecutors free rein. If we start making exceptions to Braverman all the time, then we lose those protections it gives.
It's walking a tightrope, isn't it? Holding criminals accountable, but also making sure everyone's rights are protected.
It is. And that's where good lawyers, both sides, they got to really think about each case. Make arguments that understand how complex this area of law is.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Braverman v. United States, what are the big takeaways for our listeners? Especially, you know, the legal folks out there.
Well, Braverman is still super important. It's a core part of conspiracy law. It protects people from super broad charges, from being punished multiple times for one agreement.
And it reminds us that conspiracy law has these layers to it. There are traps you can fall into if you're not careful.
For prosecutors, Braverman says, hey, think strategically. Don't just focus on getting as many charges as possible. Prove that agreement.
And for defense attorneys,
they got to really look closely at those charges, see if there's any attempt to split up one conspiracy into many. Use Braverman to fight for their clients.
This is crazy. You know, this case, Braverman v. United States, it came from bootleggers, Prohibition.
Hmm.
And it's still affecting our legal system in huge ways.
It shows you these legal principles, they might seem simple on the surface, but they have these big consequences. We're still figuring out how to be fair, how to deliver justice, what criminal intent even means.
It's definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll see you next time.